Hola, hola. Did you know that we have podcast merch? Yes. From burgundy colored hoodies to thermal water flasks to tote bags and more. The logo for Latinas from the block to the boardroom says it all. With a sneaker tennis shoe, with a high heel stiletto, go to latinasb2b.com/shop to be seen, heard, and empowered.
Welcome to Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom, where wisdom comes from everywhere. This is a podcast about generational wisdom shared to help build a bridge for future generations and to build stronger communities through education, technology, and health. Welcome to Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom.
Before we get started today, this podcast audio was recorded as a full-length live video interview with Digital Nest COO Dr. Antonio O. Franco, as we discuss representation for our Latin youth by creating technology learning centers to foster economic equity. You can find the video on our YouTube channel at Latinas B2B and subscribe to catch longer content videos in the future. Gracias. September always marks the end of summer and the start of the school year. I remember always being nervous about going to school when I was younger, but not because of the first day of school, which many of us did have those butterflies in our stomach, but because I was one of the only few Mexican-American students at most of my schools. Yes, schools. I went to 9 schools before I graduated from high school. It was mostly economic reasons, almost like how a military family would change posts and then have to settle in and start over again. However, for us, we stayed in the same city, Fresno, California. But we were always supported by family and friends that could help. You know, there's something to be said about who your community is that will help you to get to your aspirations and dreams. My mother was a single, divorced Mexican-American mom with 2 girls. We were a multi-generational family. We lived with my grandmother, who was also widowed very young, but we were hamstrung by trauma. Some of us can see trauma as brokenness and become stuck because we see the system and ourselves as broken, or we feel betrayed and demoralized from the hard work that we do to get us to where we want to go sometimes, only to be pushed back. And then for some of us who have served our country, to be demoralized by not being supported when we get back. However big the barriers that kept our family, especially my mother and my grandmother, from gaining their own economic equity at the time, higher education was a pathway to break those poverty cycles. I had a choice, and we all have choices, and I know it could have gone sideways really fast for me or for us, but it was up to us to break those economic poverty cycles. My family didn't have money to support me in a higher education journey. So for me to see the reality of going to college was really up to me and having perseverance to do it. I had to leave home, to leave behind the things that were challenging for me that I knew would keep me stuck. All I knew is I wanted something different. I wanted to be some kind of change, but I didn't know at the time what it was. I just knew I wanted to be a third generation Mexican-American, Latina, a Chicana here in the United States that didn't want to fall prey to a dominant narrative that I had no control over. Those 9 schools taught me that I had to build myself up over and over again, and that's how change happens, through perseverance and intention. You know, in reflection, being a cycle breaker, which is what I see myself as now, it can be for anything. And when you do it, you will build a new story along the way that will give you the courage, confidence, and a community that sees you. I've been on this journey for some time, and I understand it will always be a learning experience and always in progress because we are not perfect. Because change is constant and we are constantly changing. You know, finishing my Bachelor of Science degree took 10 years off and on, but I knew I wanted to finish that. And being able to do the work and working in San Francisco and in the early stages of technology in Silicon Valley, it has been a whirlwind journey. Those 9 schools gave me adaptability to be outside my comfort zone and to take another leap. And now the new leap into 5 years of this new media of podcasting, using my skills of technology and creating a platform to share others' experiences and to lift movements of change, have been so inspirational for myself and have given me a voice. Always believing there is more to discover, we hope to give you that same inspiration. We want to help you build confidence and to be courageous in your purpose, to live the reality you've always dreamed of, the one that makes you curious, to have the audacity to change your narrative by living in joy and a higher purpose. Higher education can lead you down that pathway, but it has to be in your bones to want to know how to educate yourself through story and courageousness. In deep gratitude that I am able to keep doing these stories by your support of our listening community and also sharing the voices through the internet with these podcast episodes, I thank you. Welcome to season 6 of Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom. The work continues. I love having you as the first for this season because it's very important that our youth and community start to see us and hear us more in the internet, right? Which is why we're talking about the things we're going to talk about today and your journey into higher education, because it is Dr. Antonio Ofranco. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Sarissa, for having me. It's such an honor to be launching your 6th anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And you know, one of the things that I am very passionate about, you and I share this affinity, is for technology teaching and learning for our community. We know that the lack of STEM resources, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, are not really prevalent in our communities, especially here. We're in the Monterey, California area. The outside areas of Monterey are Salinas and Watsonville, which are heavily farm-working communities outside of the Central Valley, where I'm from. And we know that they are just not as well-resourced as other communities are. So with that, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about your journey into higher education, acquiring a PhD in education administration, and what put you on that path to pursue a doctorate in education and to be with Digital Nest.
Absolutely. I always start by grounding my story with my family. My parents came from very humble beginnings, the oldest of very large families, where agriculture was a way of life for a lot of my uncles and aunts and grandmothers, right? Even my parents growing up. And so we grew up in a small agricultural community called Tolleson in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But we were so close to Phoenix that we always traveled, right? So I didn't feel so small, even though it was a really small community. And I guess what I want to say is that as I reflected on my years, my parents didn't have the opportunities to grow, right? And pursue their dreams. Mm-hmm. But I knew they had them and they never created limits for me. Mm-hmm. And so I never knew I couldn't do anything. And I was surrounded by loving and caring people who cared about me. And I just feel so blessed that that was my upbringing, that they saw me, right? And over the years, I would say that my mom, so my dad's from Mexico, and grew up there and moved to Arizona. My mom is a second generation Chicana. And very, you know, very modern, not in those traditional ways. And when I think of those pivotal moments in my education, I think of when I was an eighth grader and I went to eighth grade engineering camp at Arizona State University.
Wow.
You know, that was unheard of, right? And the fact that I was able to go to that, my parents trusted to send me off for a week. And I think that was a huge launching point for me. To not have the fear. And I also have to admit that, you know, education system, the way it's taught is not for every kid. But I did well in school, right? And I liked school. Mm-hmm. And I was very involved as a young person. And through that journey, you know, I was a part of the Upward Bound program. So there were always programs that I was always seeking to help me get to the next path, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful. But I also have to say that my mother worked at a physician's office in our small little town. He was like our only doctor. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in that office. And he always asked, where are you going to college? What do you want to be when you grow up? Talked about values. It was just a part of my everyday.
Wow.
You know, so I'm very grateful mm-hmm. that I've had the caring adults to kind of shepherd me along the way. And then I just had my own, you know, interests that I pursued. I had no limits.
Right. Yeah. The curiosity part. When someone can spark the curiosity in you to think forward thinking, like, what is your future going to be like?
Right.
Like, when someone talks to you about that when you're very small, it kind of makes you step back a little bit. Like, yeah, what am I going to do when I'm that big? Right? When you're eight,
yeah.
In eighth grade. So, you know, you come from an area that, especially the Southwest, that has had a lot of educational movements, specifically in the 1950s. Where the, you know, the Chicano movement was really heavily geared towards incorporating the education system where it was segregated, and also, you know, having language studies available. So there was a big movement down in Texas and the Southwest so that, you know, these could be available and also for a lot of students. And right now, we're starting to see that receding back. Right? We're starting to see a lot of education opportunities being cut. We're seeing book bans. We're seeing a lot of, you know, the opportunities for more people of color to have access to their history, to have those opportunities to walk into a doctor's office or to work, you know, have a job and a living wage. So with that, your mission to provide more of that representation through education, what did you do as part of that journey in your path towards your doctorate to make sure that people saw and could have those resources? Because you were part of a nonprofit, you worked in philanthropy so that more people of color could have those resources. So can you talk about that a little bit? I know that was a lot there.
No, yeah, I think, you know, everyone should have their own personal mission mm-hmm. that drives what they do, right? Mm-hmm. My mission has always been that I want to be the vehicle for change, and that is to create access to resources and opportunities and a network, right? Mm-hmm. Because with those three, so much is possible.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And so mm-hmm. every position that I've had, and it's not been a linear career, has been chasing that desire mm-hmm. to create that change, right? To be the vehicle. I have been so enriched over my years. I just want to pay it forward, mm-hmm. right? And so that's what's driven me over the years through my work, mm-hmm. right? To create those opportunities.
Yeah. And I think what I know about you and through your bio is that technology and access to that, having the education is really a big part of that. And again, going back to STEM, mm-hmm. you know, that was kind of your North Star, correct? Why did you feel that was part of your, you know, your mission, your North Stars we're talking about, to make sure, you know, that was actually the path that you saw that many of our community members need to, you know, be exposed to?
Right. I mean, I take it back where I was a senior in high school and I was in physics class.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Right. I was like, oh, there aren't too many of us Latina kids in the physics class, right? And I enjoyed physics. And so, I mean, engineering camp, you know, enjoying STEM in high school, right? And, you know, going into a career in business, right? There's accounting, statistics, the finance component of it. So that has followed me. And when I went into the professional work world, right, I started at Arizona State University. Mm-hmm. And I saw the disparities, right, in terms of where our young people were going to, what majors were they going into, mm-hmm. right? A lot of liberal arts, a lot of general studies. When I knew that we could have more young people that were so brilliant that could go into any of the STEM fields that they wanted to, right? Mm-hmm. But again, it's the exposure, letting them know that there are other people that look like them that are in those careers, right?
Right.
And I think that was part of my desire to advance my education. Like, I always knew I wanted a doctorate, right? I didn't know how to get there, but I always knew I wanted it.
Wow.
So that was as a freshman in college,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I heard someone present about advanced degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get that one day.
Wow.
Not even knowing.
Right. And the statistics for Latinas with higher masters, you know, higher degrees, from a master's to a PhD is very, very small. I think you gave a statistic on that. What is the...
Yes, 1% of Latinas have a doctorate degree,
mm-hmm.
right? And 8% of Latinas and African Americans have advanced degrees, which includes a master's, right?
Right.
So when you think of those dismal numbers, there's such a way to go, right? In terms of creating more exposure and opportunity to encourage our young people to go into advanced degrees, right?
Yeah.
And I want to share this like beautiful story because, you know, my career at Arizona State University for 11 years really shaped me professionally.
Mm-hmm.
I was surrounded by Latinas and Latinos with degrees, right? Mm-hmm. They were professors in the arts and education, in psychology, in STEM.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was surrounded by. And to be mentored by them and to be supported by them, again, right? The possibilities are endless when you're surrounded by people that look like you.
Right.
And tell you, yes, I can be in those positions.
Right. As they say, representation matters.
Absolutely.
When you see it, you can be it. Seriously, I believe that. But, you know, there's challenges along the way for a lot of us. Like for myself, that was not part of my reality. I'm a third generation Latina, you know, Mexican American, grew up in the Central Valley. You know, a lot of history here in California, right? You're from Arizona. Yeah. And that's part of the culture that, you know, everybody thinks, oh, it's easy, or you just have to try, or there's many things, systemic things that come up that really kind of put, you know, obstacles in your way. It's really about, like you said, I knew I wanted to do that, right? I knew this is what I wanted to do because you saw it, you were surrounded by it. And I think the message, you know, we want to tell our audience, our listeners, our people is that it just takes the curiosity and just one foot, right? Just take one step. You know, even if you don't have the role models, go find them, right? You can find your community. So with that, I want to talk about the diversity in, you know, education. Right now, a lot of leadership is lacking as representation. Like you saw them when you were growing up, but the percentages of Latinos, you know, our population is increasing across the nation, but yet the teachers are not in the classrooms. I think there is, by 2050, there's going to be 1 out of 8 Latinos in the classroom. That's a big jump. Yet the teachers are not being represented, right? There's a lack of Latinos that are going into education that are not on the school boards, that are not superintendents, right? And we're talking about if you see it, you can be it, or the representation. And I think also our community wants to feel safe, right? Because when we look at who's in the classroom, I think there's a judgment, or at least for me, that was part of my experience. But it's accepting to be in a diverse community. But how do we get people are motivated into pursuing higher education to maybe want to go into education or to go into technology, you know, the STEM fields? Because those two areas are very key to our communities for many reasons that we'll get into after that. I don't want to, you know, just throw a bunch of questions at you all at once.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Well, I just want to get your perspective on that. Yeah.
I think, you know, advanced education is life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, right? That piece of paper means something. It means that you could weather the challenges that were brought forth to you, right? Mm-hmm. whether it's you didn't have all the means to get there and you're taking out loans, whether it is you're in the classroom and you're the only Latina in a business management class, right? I was one of two. You know, so there are a lot of hardships, right, around that. Mm-hmm. But finishing that degree says something to an employer, says something to a community, yes. says something to a family, right? That pride and opens doors, mm-hmm. right? Because it can easily be a barrier. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, when I went to school, it was a linear path. Now the possibilities are so different, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to have a linear path. You can go with an internship. You can go take a job. You can come back to school, right? Mm-hmm. You could do trade school. I think that's the beauty of where we're at right now, mm-hmm. that we just need organizations like Digital Nest and like-minded organizations that are showing all the multiple paths that we have for our young people mm-hmm. to show them the way, right? Before we had tracking, right? And it was like, oh, I think you're great, so you're going to go on this path. But the others, no, you don't. You're not so great, right? There was a lot of bias in that sense. But now I think we just have to show the options and allow our young people to navigate those waters and support them along the way. Mm-hmm. At the Digital Nest, we have a saying, once a nester, always a nester. Mm-hmm. Because we know that just because you get into your foot in the door and your first employment opportunity, we still want to support you to keep moving up the ladder, whatever that means for you, right? For success.
Right.
So it's that constant support system and that network is helping our young people get to where they need to be. And so when you talk about education in STEM, it's no different. Mm-hmm. Those outreach programs are still really important. I did all of those back in my, you know, in my days, mm-hmm. talking to families, you know, talking to young people, showing them what the values are. It is no different to advocate for education, any type of education, mm-hmm. as it is for on the ground when you're advocating for people to, you know, vote for this person for office.
Right.
Right. Going door to door, talking to people and connecting with them. That's the way you change it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a long-term goal.
It really is
not going to happen overnight, but is a long-term commitment that not only education systems need to make, the communities, philanthropy needs to make long-term commitments, mm-hmm. right, and put their money where we can really see a change. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it definitely involves a whole community to do that. And even, you know, the tech sector, mm-hmm. right? And corporations, employers need to be very close to this as well and have to have a commitment.
Right. All hands on deck.
All hands on deck.
As they say. And, you know, that brings up a very interesting topic about networks, social networks. And in one of my episodes, I said, if our community could, you know, work with other big networks like the tías and the abuelitas that sit at the table drinking cafecito and telling the whole neighborhood's, like, you know, business, and then they help each other too.
Right.
Why can't we do that in business? You know, we need to think about, like, the avenues and the networks, right, that we can start to build this ecosystem, right, of helping and supporting one another, because our communities are very activated. But I feel as though it's a reactive versus a proactive approach. And now is the time that I think all of us are looking to be more proactive. But again, we're in a reactive mode right now of what's happening this election year. So with that, I want to talk about the networks that we build in community that can extend into a job opportunity. I think with Digital Nest, you're able to create a network and build outside of just the, you know, the teachings in, you know, your classes, because the nesters come back, as you say, once a nester, always a nester.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really important component. I think when Jacob Martinez, our founder, started the Nest, was just that, right? We needed to see representation in tech, and he wasn't seeing it, working with young people. And over the years, he's developed a network, right? And so then over the years, we've been growing, right? We've been scaling the organization. And as we bring new colleagues in, they have their own networks, right? And so the goal is for us to build that network, that system, very similar to the Harvards, right? To Ivy League schools. They have their inherent networks nationally. And that is our goal, that we create that network. And there's so many brilliant Latinos and Latinas and people that care, allies, that are out there in the business world that want to serve as mentors for us. So we're leveraging those opportunities with a mentorship program, right? They're coming and paying it forward. The wealth is there. We just need to create the space to bring them and invite them in, right? And that's beautiful because we're seeing our community grow. And then our alumni are doing amazing work, right? They're doing amazingly well, and they're coming back to pay it forward and bringing folks up to say, hey, there's opportunities for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that network, as we have more alumni, is going to continue to grow the professional network, right, of Latinos that are already in this in the work world that want to share their insights. You know, that's going to help us create this big network to support our young people.
You know, my experience has been that women are really in education and we're not more represented in technology. However, I feel like that's changing with a lot of the digital equity that's happening in certain states, but a lot of that is not happening as fast as we'd like it, right? We know that technology can close the wealth gap for a lot of us. That happened for me in the early days where technology I saw as a pathway to help my family, myself. Where do you think right now with digital equity, where it is today and how Digital Nest plays a part into that?
I think it's like critically imperative right now, you know, that we push forward and we really chart the path, you know, and I feel like that's what we're doing at Digital Nest, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are persistent, we're tenacious about what we want to accomplish for our young people, for our communities. We always say that if you change the life of a young person, you're influencing that family and the community, mm-hmm. right? And we want them to be economically prosperous. And so we just need to forge ahead and create partnerships with employers who do want to work with us, right? And keep at it until we create greater avenues to do that. And I think, again, we talked about this before, right? It's a long-term journey
mm-hmm.
around this. But we have to recognize that Latinos are a large population of our communities. If you just take California as an example, or the Southwest, right? Mm-hmm. But we can see that in the Midwest and in the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, we have to make sure that they're going into these careers so that it helps the economic, you know, development and the economic growth engine of our whole nation.
Right.
It's you can't avoid us anymore.
Right.
Right. We can be an economic powerhouse. We can be a political powerhouse.
Right.
So we just need to make sure that we're partnering with like-minded organizations and individuals.
Right.
Who are helping us to advance that.
Right. So, Antonia, my experience in tech, right, was very different, right? I say it's really on luck how I was able to get into tech. It wasn't a linear path. I was very interested in music. I played sports. I left Fresno when I was very young because I was very curious about the world, right? And I think having curiosity about the world and what your experiences are can really drive you towards new opportunities and ideas. And I think, you know, where your path is in technology and now with Digital Nest, and then where mine is to promote Latinas being visible and community and allies that are really changing the narrative. How do you see Digital Nest really changing that narrative, you know, with the established organization? And I believe you have 3 offices now.
We're in 4 communities.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we are in Watsonville, Salinas, Gilroy, Modesto, and we're opening Stockton in the fall.
Wow.
So we'll be 5 communities.
And why is it important to establish, you know, this type of organization in those communities?
I mean, we really have focused on the agricultural communities and the most underserved communities that could use the resources, right, and the opportunities for advancement. And so those are very intentional communities that we identified to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel it's really important to hire the talent in those communities because they know what they need the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so collectively working with our communities to create those spaces, invite the youth, right? In a space that knows they're going to be nurtured,
mm-hmm.
they can learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they could fail, and we're there to support them. Because that's our goal. We're there to make sure that they have the technical skills, that they have the professional skills, and they know how to navigate their career at a younger age. And so that for us is how we're intentionally really driving our workforce development programs at Digital Nest. And the one thing that I want to highlight too that is so important, and we talked about this earlier, is that our instructors are, we've grown our own instructors, right? They come with the technical skills and we'll show them how to be the best instructors they can be so that they are the role models in their classes that they're teaching, right? That was so critical for us. So the grow your own concept has been around for many, many years, right? It's still needed, right? It's still needed in our communities. So that's what we're trying to do in the five communities that we're in. And bring tech to us or go to tech, right? We want to meet halfway and we want to get our young people into those jobs.
Yep. So you bring up a couple of critical things for me that you touch upon, and that is, you know, giving people a safe space to learn, right? Especially about technology. And, you know, I have some books on the table here. Like we have Joy Bulamwini, who talked about the coded bias. My favorite, which is, you know, Safia Nobel, all these doctorate and MIT and writers, they're talking about our safety in these spaces, the representation that matters in technology. How do we go about educating, you know, these future generations about, you know, the coded bias in a way that helps them navigate their careers? That's something that's very important to me, but I want to bring that up to you, teaching these young folks about, you know, accountability in providing a safe space on the internet, you know, in their coding, or if they're on a product team, you know, if there's something wrong, you know, how do we let them say they're standing up?
Speak up. Okay.
Yeah, how they can speak up for community. Yeah.
Got it. You know, I think we focus on the professional skills, right, which have been known as soft skills.
Yeah.
And that is to be able to communicate, collaborate, right, be analytical, show leadership. And you come as you are, right, when you're going into a new position. And I think a support system gives you the courage to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can go for advice. How should I do this? This is what's going on, right? Having that mentor and that coach on standby really makes a difference, right? So that they don't feel alone. I do also give a lot of credit to employee resource groups. ERGs are very powerful, you know, in different corporations. That's your community. Whatever your community is, there's so many options, is that you join that community to give you that strength in numbers, right? We have to leverage the critical mass that we have in the different companies to be able to be comfortable enough to talk about something that you see that doesn't feel right to your values, right? To your integrity. Yeah, that's the way that I would approach it. And that's the way we're doing it at Digital Nest.
That's wonderful. I love that because it's very important for, I think, the future generations to understand that today the internet is based on decades of data that has preceded us. And who really has a lot of access? And we're playing catch up. So if we're on teams and we're representing, you know, the way the real world is, and I mean the globe, I think it just presents a more safer space, you know, for communities to really thrive in that arena. I feel that diversity in tech is very critical, which is why Digital Nest exists. California created the internet, basically, and there's 40% plus Latinos here. And just for representation in tech in Latinos being represented in the sector is about 8%. That's across the nation, but here in the state, you know, it's very dismal numbers, not even in the C-suite. So seeing you as a Latina with a PhD for digital equity and higher education is monumental. And I think that's setting a very critical path for so many, you know, folks that are looking to get into the industry. So thank you for that. I think being here today with all of you and seeing what you're doing and how we're putting that narrative by two Latinas that have come through the ranks of various, you know, I want to say initiatives through the, you know, United States of, you know, affirmative action, you know, equal opportunity, access to school loans, and also being able to find jobs, that we can see ourselves as entrepreneurs, as doctors, as, you know, C-suite executives. I mean, these are things that we're bringing forward, right, to future generations and building that bridge. So what I want to leave us today with something inspirational, and I'm going to leave that to you, Antonia, to close us out here on Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, I think the one thing that I just so admire about you and our community is that we're tenacious.
Yes.
Right? We don't take no for an answer, and the possibilities are endless, right? And I think continuing with that energy and enthusiasm is what will carry us forward, right? And the way that I ground myself is through meditation and breathing, right?
So I gotta breathe.
Yeah, I gotta breathe. So I do that, you know, at night, primarily in the mornings, but at night I can do it too. And I came across this really beautiful quote that I wanted to share with you all.
Yes.
Because I think it just talks about the power, right? So the power of opportunity and possibilities. So it goes like this. The impossibility is just a possibility you don't yet understand, right? And a vibrant mind can achieve anything. So no barriers, right?
Yeah.
Let's just focus that way. Let's see it that way. And the energy and the community will surround us to keep pushing forward.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Gracias, Antonia, for joining me today on Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Antonia Ofranco and her nearly 30 years of executive management experience across nonprofit, philanthropic, and government sectors, you can reach out to her at digitalnest.org, or you can find her on LinkedIn. This podcast was sponsored by 5E Leadership and Marketing, co-founded by Latinas B2B.Marketing. The executive production is done by Teresa E. Gonzalez and co-produced by Robert Lopez. If you'd like to learn more about Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom, please visit our website at latinasb2b.com and stay informed and subscribe to our newsletter. If you'd like a sponsorship opportunity or know how you can collaborate with Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom, please visit us at info@latinasb2b.com. Gracias.